Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Vine and is presented by Williams Redlich.
When it comes to, you know, balancing right work and life and everything else, I really do have to be a lot more intentional about it.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today I'm joined by Raul Rana. Now, get this. Raul has published a great book called Making Moonshots and is a student of physics and finance, which I think is a super cool combination. He's also endlessly curious. But Raul also found himself incredibly unbalanced while in the process of creating his book, Making Moonshots. That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs just launched, and we've already seen some great success. That success doesn't come without a huge team, and you are part of that team by leaving a review and sharing the show with a friend or family member who you think might get something out of it. You're helping support the show, allowing us to continue sharing these lessons of growth. You can leave a review by going to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs. It's the first link in the show notes. Now, on to the show. Raul Rana, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Absolutely. Let's get ready. Yeah.
Awesome. So this one that we're talking about today is you becoming unhealthily obsessed with a creative project. Would you mind setting the stage for us? What was that creative project? And then what was it that got you unhealthily obsessed?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, in terms of setting the stage, so I'm currently a sophomore at Rutgers University, right? Studying astrophysics and finance. So I'm a university student. And just past year, right, in 2020, you know, all through COVID and whatnot, I decided to write a book, right? So I wanted to do something really, really bold in sort of the topic that I'm passionate about, right? Moonshot companies, right? Like really impactful, you know, advanced technology and science startups and whatnot. And, you know, I decided to write this book last year, fortunately got it published and whatnot. So I'm at home. I was at home for, you know, the past sort of, 11, 10 months or so, putting all of my time and all my effort into this book. I was so, so passionate about this concept. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm doing real work in space and it was just amazing. It was just like, I want to do this for the rest of my life, right? Like, you know, working with moonshot companies, you know, writing about them, identifying ones that could make, you know, really impactful and really, you know, really financially successful companies and helping them, supporting them, investing in them and so forth. At the end of the day, I became obsessed with sort of this project. It was just like, you know, this culmination of all the things that I've ever learned about the topic and everything I've ever experienced. Plus, you know, everything I was super, super passionate about, right? I genuinely want to work in this field and for my entire life. And again, I became so obsessed with it to the point that like sacrificed, you know, part of my social life to really, you know, put the time into this book. And, you know, on one hand, I did have to. Again, I wanted it to be a good book, like, you know, an insightful sort of timeless book. But at the end of the day, like, it was definitely tough, especially, you know, being at home for so long, you do have to, you know, you need to keep that sort of like that work-life balance and everything. And I just, you know, made a decision not to do that. I sort of disregarded that. And I'm not saying it wasn't productive. Like, obviously, like, I don't regret doing it. But in the moment, I just did not know how to balance all these things. For part of the, you know, COVID months, I was in school. I had other internships and other work opportunities. And I was writing this book. And I just did not have the time to focus on my mental health, even my close relationships. I really only spoke to, you know, my family, obviously, because I lived with them, and like, you know, one or two other friends. But then most of my time was going to, you know, interviewing experts, right, for my book, founders of companies for my book. I had a publisher, right? So I had to do a lot of publishing calls and so forth. And just it became almost this full-time job, basically, but not just a full-time job, but rather like I was spending, you know, 12, 13 hours a day solely on this book.
Wow. You fell in love with this thing. You really got into it. So tell me a little bit about the juxtaposition of loving this thing, but then also how that can become so unhealthy.
Here you have like, all right, like this is like a topic I'm so, so passionate about. It makes me so happy. But, you know, at the end of the day, like it sort of distracts me from, you know, other things, right? Sort of, you know, my mental health and so forth. And, you know, just like taking care of myself and balancing it with other things in my life. So it was, you know, finding that balance was definitely really, it was definitely really hard. I mean, like, you know, some can call it like a drug if you want to call it. Like, you know, it genuinely, it was just like a high, right? Like, you know, writing pages, again, like, it's a healthy high and everything, a productive high. But like, you know, writing those pages and, you know, every single subchapter I finished, it was just like the best feeling ever. But at the end of the day, like a lot of my, you know, personal relationships, they sort of, you know, fell off. Right. And yeah, I did lose some of my friends in the process. Right. I would never like talk about anything else. Right. Like I wasn't like a terrible person. Like, I obviously, you know, have, you know, normal conversations, but like for the most part, I was just always obsessing over this. But at the end of the day, striking that balance was definitely tough to do.
What was it that you did to strike that balance between this, like you mentioned, a healthy obsession, right? Something awesome, but then it got taken too far. So what was the balance that you ultimately found?
The funny thing is that I actually did not find that balance on my own. It took a really, really close friend of mine to really call me out, right? The best sort of people to have in your life are those that are brutally honest with yourself. And my friend just told me like, yo, like, is this like unhealthy? Like you gotta sort of balance yourself out, and just like having someone else tell me that's, you know, someone I really, really respect, put it in perspective, like, wow, like I really need to balance this. Even my parents did the same thing. And my parents, you know, they're sort of your typical sort of, you know, Indian parents or South Asian parents, like they want me to be, you know, putting in the work, right, for school and everything, right, being successful and whatnot. But even they were saying like, all right, like, you know, focus on your social life, right? Like focus on other things, like other things matter in life. And it was just like, wow, like, you know, I gotta find that balance. So that's actually what prompted me to do so. I don't think without them, I probably would not have, you know, realized that, okay, like I'm, you know, neglecting a lot of the other important aspects of my life. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, that balance came from others, actually.
Interesting. So you strike me as somebody who does find passions in things and find things that you just fall in love with and that you ultimately just adore. And so looking forward, I imagine this kind of thing could happen again. What are you doing now to think to the future and say, I'm going to make sure that I prioritize my mental health and those relationships with the people I care about?
When it comes to, you know, balancing right work and life and everything else, I really do have to be a lot more intentional about it. The sort of the, you know, quote unquote luxury of, you know, throughout the, you know, the COVID months and whatnot is that basically, you know, I was just at home. I didn't have like any sort of pressure to, you know, go out and, you know, do things and whatnot. Cause again, I had the excuse of like, all right, like there's a virus. Like, I don't want to get sick or whatever. Right. And again, I live with my grandma, so I just didn't want to risk it. So throughout the COVID months, like it was like, sort of like okay to not, you know, focus on other things. Cause again, at the end of the day, maybe, you know, you shouldn't, obviously you want to stay safe. So it was like that was the thing. But you know, now I'm at college. Actually, I just moved into my college campus and everything. And I realized like, all right, like I'm doing some awesome things, but that's not to say like that's not an excuse for, you know, again, neglecting, you know, other relationships, right, with my friends and stuff like that, or you know, not being like active and everything. Another sort of, you know, byproduct or you know, symptom or whatever you want to call it of this unhealthy obsession was that actually I didn't really care about my physical health as well, right? Now, you know, I really am, you know, starting to put in time into, you know, working out and, you know, eating healthy and so forth. And I think, you know, going forward, what's going to keep me sort of, you know, what's going to keep that balance just being a lot more intentional with it. Again, surrounding myself with, you know, again, honest people, right? Brutally honest people, checking myself, right? Making sure that sort of, you know, I'm happy, right? My mental health is in check. Again, you know, what I realized actually is that checking all those things and keeping them in, you know, keeping them well, is it actually makes yourself more productive. And again, like throughout the process, like there were some nights I worked until I was like hallucinating and stuff, like no lie. And I remember I had this one physical right for, you know, just like, you know, your yearly sort of physical. And the doctor was like, your heart rate's like unnaturally high. Like, why is that? And I was just like, all right, like I've been under so much stress, right? Like not sleeping, right? And it was just like unhealthy in terms of, you know, physical health as well. So, you know, now I'm making sure like, all right, like I'm going to take those mental breaks, right? I'm going to take those, you know, take the time to see my friends and, you know, make fun memories and, you know, live my life, right? And so forth. And I just realized, you know, like the sort of like the best sort of balance to have is just like having, you know, work that you absolutely love and surround yourself with, you know, with the right people and so forth. And it's a happy life after that. So yeah.
I love that. And I think that's fantastic that you're being proactive to make sure that you live that balanced lifestyle, because you know that you are going to fall in love with these things. As we finish each episode, we finish with the one idea, the one bulb, the 1,000th try that is working for you now. So feel free to brag a little bit. Tell us about your book and how it's working for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my book just recently published just last month, actually. It's called Making Moonshots. It's a deep dive into the philosophies, mindsets, strategies, and ecosystems that are really conducive to building moonshot companies, right? So really impactful, deep tech, right? Really advanced, really, you know, emerging sciences and technologies, right? Frontier tech, all those synonyms. It's really those startups and those founders and those companies that really take, you know, these advanced sciences and technologies, using a really radically creative solution, and it really solve a really big problem in the world. So again, right, really, again, impactful, you know, doing some good in the world, right? Solving the hard problems. Basically, you know, the term moonshot, right? It's sort of, it's a metaphor for the Apollo missions, right? Going to the moon, right? When sort of, you know, JFK made his famous moon speech, going to the moon was scientifically and technologically impossible. Insane, right? This ambitious, very, very bold goal. And what he did, right? He sort of mobilized the entire sort of general public and the scientists and the scientific community and private funding and all these different aspects. And they again, you know, eventually went to the moon. So it's just like, you know, the companies that are sort of reminiscent of that, right? They sort of, you know, solve this really, really tough problem, right? You know, everything from climate change to homelessness to, you know, going to space and, you know, developing drugs and so forth. There's so many different problems. I just wanted to create a really inspirational book, right? I want to inspire people to make moonshots at the end of the day. So yeah.
I love that. And I'm going to have a link to the book in the show notes so that people can go and check it out. Thank you for joining me today, Raul.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And thank you for listening. Special thanks to Raul Rana for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out Making Moonshots, Raul's book, linked in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Rutledge and Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork was by Bethany Gustafson, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.